Last month, a new option for cervical cancer screening was introduced that some experts believe is a game changer for many women. You can now do it for yourself. No doctor, no speculum, no indignity. Professor Deborah Bateson specialises in women's reproductive health and chairs the Implementation Committee for Self-Collection. Welcome back to the Health Report, Deborah.
Thank you, Norman. A pleasure to be here.
Let's just go first. Cervical cancer. This is the neck of the womb, and it's a nasty cancer if you get it.
It's a nasty cancer. It's a horrible death, and we know here it's the 14th most common cancer in women, and in our neighbouring Pacific countries, globally, it's the fourth. So, you know, we've got the tools and technology now to prevent it.
Is it still a problem, even with HPV vaccination?
Yeah, so it is still the latest data shows that around about 900 or so women are diagnosed with it each year, and around about 233 deaths predicted in 2020. So it's still an issue. And we know that around three quarters of those who develop this invasive cancer in Australia are under or never screened. So that's still a barrier. And the HPV vaccine is fantastic, of course, but that's going to take a bit of time to catch up. So the oldest women are now at 40s who've been vaccinated.
You, in a recent article, you said we are on track to be the first country in the world to eliminate it. On what basis do you say that? It sounds like we're still getting a lot of cases.
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? We've still got, I mean, it is on the basis of our vaccine program. We're vaccinating boys as well as girls, but also our screening program. But there are still gaps. So we've got to fill these gaps, and we've got to bring in people who are under-screened. But we are on track to eliminate. It's less than 4 per 100,000 cases in a year. So it's not eradication. So we've still got ongoing work to do. But we really need to bring in these people who aren't being screened and are under-screened. So they're the ones who develop the cancers. So we've still got hard work to do. But now we've got this game-changing potential, as you mentioned, with self-collection to overcome some of those barriers.
So what is this self-collection? Because it's based on the fact that we now know that human papillomavirus causes cervical cancer, so you're not getting the pap smear anymore.
That's right. So we changed in 2017 from the pap smear every 2 years, looking at cell changes, and now we're testing for that HPV infection. So we're looking for cancer-causing types, the oncogenic types of HPV.
Oncogenic meaning cancer-causing.
Yes.
And the basis of this is that if you haven't been infected with HPV, you're not likely to develop cancer. So it's a threshold test, if you like.
That's right. That's right. So we're detecting what we call the high-risk types. That's types 16 and 18. And then there's another 14 types which are intermediate risk. They're less likely to cause cancer. And we're detecting that HPV infection. And if we're detecting that, then we're either sending people off to have a close look at the cervix with a colposcopy for the high-risk cases, or we're surveilling them. So at the moment, if you've got, well, in this new program, you know, it's got a very excellent negative predictive value. If you have a negative HPV test, it's safe to say, look, come back in another 5 years. But what we're wanting to do is pick up those cases, where there is that HPV infection.
So how does this self-testing work?
Well, so what it is that basically it's women have the option. So people have the option. So instead of a speculum exam and taking the sample from the cervix, women are given a swab, and it's a dry flock swab. We're all familiar with those now. It's inserted into the vagina, just a few centimetres, and rotated around to collect the cells from the vagina and pop back in the tube. And women can do this, you know, behind the curtain or in the bathroom at the clinic. They don't have to be observed doing that. And actually, potentially, this also opens up the possibility of you know, even having tests at home as well. So when we know it's as accurate as clinician collected.
That was my next question. It's a PCR test, isn't it?
It's a PCR test, yes. It's a PCR test, and we're familiar with that, of course. So, and very accurate. It's as accurate as a clinician-collected test.
Now, do all path labs deal with this at the moment?
So that's a good question, Norman. So until the change came on the 1st of July of this year, there were only three big labs around the country that were doing this, offering this analysis for these self-collected samples.
Now, because it's a different analysis from the standard piece, the standard test that the GP might do.
It is. They need the correct platform to do that analysis. So as a GP, you need to know whether your local lab is offering the analysis. But what happens now is, if they're not, they then send it on to a lab that is. So, you know, we know that that's a barrier that's disappeared, and more labs are actually taking up this, you know, they want to be able to provide this analysis themselves, of course.
So it's done in the GP surgery, or can you do it at home?
Yeah, Yes, look, it's preferable in a GP surgery. I know it is. Well, I give someone a swab, if they go to the bathroom, I'm going to get it back. We know that if there's other steps added in, then there is a chance that, you know, it's not going to come back. But it does open up the possibility of telehealth. We're all used to that now. You could, you know, have that discussion, organise the pathology request form, and then the person could go to their local lab to collect the test. But one thing is, we know that you have to have a local arrangement in place. Not all the collection centres will have that, those policies or those right swabs.
And what about rural and regional Aboriginal communities?
Yes, look, it's got great promise. So it's available everywhere. I mean, anyone now is eligible, who's eligible for screening between 25 and 74, including pregnancy, regardless of your background, anyone with a cervix, should be offered, you know, either that choice of self or clinician collected. And there's lots of excellent research going on with Aboriginal communities, co-designed research, co-designed. There's a lot of excellent resources on the Department of Health website. And it can overcome those barriers of, you know, stigma and shame, and people who've had previous sexual trauma, for instance, for whom a speculum is just, you know, a barrier too far.
Now, I understand there isn't going to be a Medicare item number for this till November.
No, that's not quite right. So there's Medicare item numbers now. There's just a very small group of people where it's not available to November, and they're not screening. That's for people who want to choose self collection if they've had an intermediate risk result. They're being followed up, and they can only get
so that, that's my next question. Follow up. So this is you're trying to find the hard to screen group, people who don't come forward necessarily for screening for all sorts of reasons, often disadvantaged. What are you going to do? First of all, if it's negative, they've got to be tested every 5 years. How are you going to recall them and know that? And secondly, if there is an abnormality or there is HPV, they've got to come back for colposcopy. Aren't you compounding the problem with self-testing?
So they're really good questions. So we've got an excellent register in Australia. So we've got, which sends out invitations and recalls, and people consent to be on that register, and it's going to go digital fairly soon as well, which is great because at the moment it's based on letters. Now, you're absolutely right. So negative, 5 years. If it's a 16-18, that's the most cancer-causing HPV types, then we do refer people straight away to colposcopy. So, and we do need to make sure that we've got, it's written in the guidelines, we need to make sure we've got that continuity of sensitive care. Because you're absolutely right, people who've opted for a self-collection, you know, they need to understand and need to have fully informed consent about what's going on. Because if they have a not 16-18 result, then they do need to come back to the GP for the cytology test. We can't test for cell changes on that self-collected swab. So some people may choose to have a clinician collect where we can test.
So it's not test and forget for either the GP or the woman.
It's not test and forget, and a lot does need to go into that informed, you know, supporting that informed decision. It's not just a matter of saying, oh, look, you know, you can have this with this speculum over here, or here's just a self-collected swab. There is really important information to support self-collection, and there are some great resources actually on the National Cervical Screening Program website in different languages. Yeah.
And we'll have a link to those on the Health Report's website. Deb, thanks for joining us.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks.
Deb Bateson is Professor of Practice at the Daffodil Centre at the University of Sydney.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.